That was Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles. Before that, you heard After the Storm from Cali Uchis. So, as promised, we've got a game.
Yes.
But first, support comes from Sidecar Bakery in North Oakland. Whether you're looking for a casual place to study or a great place to meet friends, we are here for you. Always serving scratch-made pastries, a full coffee bar, it's for you, John, and six packs to go in a cozy cafe setting. Open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday. If you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. All right, it's time for this game.
What is this?
All right, you're from Puerto Rico, right?
Yeah.
Why did I say right? I know that. This game is called Puerto Rico or Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to give you a category, and you got to tell me. You got to choose.
Okay.
Puerto Rico or Pittsburgh. I might ask you why. It might be obvious. This is very stressful. I've never been to Puerto Rico. I've been to Pittsburgh.
You've been to Cuba, right?
I have been to Cuba.
Yeah, it's kind of similar.
Okay. I mean, if you say so. But all right, let's go first category. So actually, since we're doing songs about weather, first category is weather.
Let's see.
I'm gonna write these answers down. I'm gonna keep track.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Puerto Rico.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not expect you to say that.
Okay, yeah, I didn't expect myself to say that either.
Change your answer.
I'll keep it for now. Let's see. Pittsburgh weather has more variety.
Sure.
Right? There's winter and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm sick of the winter right now. I hate it so much.
Is it? Did you have to go shopping for coats and stuff?
When I first moved here, yeah.
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 Wow. That's funny. Okay. The next category, airport. What's the confused man?
I'm so confused because I both don't like them. Actually, Pittsburgh. Maybe Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Ooh, yeah. Pittsburgh takes that one. I promise this isn't planned. This isn't one of those things that we planned that we'll get to the end and it'll be like one. Everything will be like back and forth. Like, you know what I mean? Do you want to elaborate on the airport?
Well, Pittsburgh's airport is bigger and it's more spacious and it has like more restaurants, I guess. Yeah.
All right. Okay, I got this. Public transportation.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah, this is a clear one.
Okay, good. All right, I got this one. Food.
Puerto Rico.
Ooh. Was the confidence there? Why Puerto Rico?
I mean, have you seen Pittsburgh?
Okay.
It's just all fried stuff. Like, we make fried stuff as well, but I've seen like 5 fried chicken shops in Pittsburgh. Like, why do I need this much fried chicken?
Fried chicken is good. Don't hate on fried chicken.
It's good, but like I don't need this much of it.
Okay, fried chicken was a category. Which way would it go?
If it were a category?
Yeah. You're thinking about it.
I don't know. We don't really make fried chicken as a delicacy or whatever. Okay, like as sure. a dish.
Sure.
Like we'll cook it from time to time, but
man. Okay, that was so funny. Okay. All right, so far it's neck and neck. Wow. Like
No, wait. I have something else to say about food here.
Okay.
Right, there was one Puerto Rican food shop here,
mm-hmm.
and then they closed down.
Where what was it?
I think like near downtown.
Okay.
Right?
Did you go?
Yeah, I would Uber Eats it.
Mm.
And then I tried a couple times like, "Damn, this is pretty good." Like this is like back home, right? And then they closed down and I'm like, "Now I'm back to fried chicken."
Come on, man. All right. I'm going to be having fried chicken tonight. All right. Coffee. This is an important one.
Actually, this is a hard one.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you want me to give you an easier one while you think about that one?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Beaches.
Wait, that's like a clear answer. Puerto Rico.
Oh, this is because... Okay. Puerto Rico, I mean, hey.
Well, you're going to swim...
I was surprised by that one.
You're going to swim in the rivers here?
You could. I feel like people would do that on like those, you know, like those excursions they go on during orientation.
Oh yeah.
You went on one.
Oh, I went. Yeah, I went on like a tour of downtown. I think. Mm. Yeah.
How was it? Didn't you say it was like hot? It was too hot.
Yeah, it was really hot that day. And it started raining, so then it got humid.
Doesn't help that you had jeans though. This man wears jeans in like.
Yeah, I wear jeans every weather season. Like I'm not changing that.
That is how your name is spelled. You know, Jean.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Coffee.
Oh, we're back to coffee.
Staring
okay.
at me. This is radio. We got to talk.
Oh, right. So,
do you want to play another song while you think about it?
No, okay, okay. Actually, but can we do a tie on this one?
Tie?
Yeah.
Can we? So lame. Okay, fine.
I have reasons for my tie.
Why is the tie? Why is the tie?
Well, like, okay. Puerto Rican coffee is, like, really good. But then, like, in Pittsburgh, I get to have, like, different types of coffee. While in Puerto Rico, I get to only have Puerto Rican coffee.
What do you mean different types of coffee?
Because Pittsburgh doesn't really, like, make their coffee. They just, like, roast it here. But they ship it from different countries.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, interesting.
But, like, in Puerto Rico, you only get it from Puerto Rico.
Okay. That's interesting. That is actually... I'll give that a tie. That's a fair reason for time. Okay. So far, Puerto Rico... I'm trying to count. I can't count three. Okay. Puerto Rico has three. Pittsburgh has two. It's really close. Summer. Oh, wait. I wanted that to be, like, the last category, but I didn't write it in order that I wanted it, so I kind of messed up. Okay. Let's come back to that one.
That's, okay.
This is grand finale. Pictures you've taken.
Oh, I see. In my preference, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, okay. We're back tied. It's almost like this was planned. I didn't want this to happen, man.
Like, well, it's like, I guess, like, Pittsburgh, I like seeing buildings a lot. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of buildings, and then Pittsburgh has, like, more different architectures.
Sure.
Right? While Puerto Rico is, like, once you get out of the city, it's just, like, mostly mountains and a lot of natural landscape.
All right, so the tiebreaker. And the reason I'm gonna ask you a follow-up question is, but the summer.
The summer?
That could be vibes, it could be weather, it could be things to do, I don't know.
You know what, I'll give it to Puerto Rico for summer.
Ooh, Puerto Rico, wait, that surprised me. We're gonna talk about this in a sec, but you wanna elaborate?
Okay, so like, I stayed in Pittsburgh for the summer, right? I think you.
That was the question. I'm gonna go back to my thing because I wanna ask you. Like, you didn't go back home to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I stayed in Pittsburgh in the summer. Well, I think I had like a lot of fun staying here, but I feel like, I guess depending on like the vibes itself, like Pittsburgh is very hot and very humid, but that's like not much other to it. Like when it comes to weather, right? Mm-hmm. And then in Puerto Rico, it's hot and humid, but you also have the breeze. Like, there's, like, a different feel to it. Like, you don't, like, when I go out in a t-shirt in Pittsburgh, I'm sweating my, like, I'm sweating, like, way too much. And there's nothing compensating for it. Mm. But, like, when I go back home outside, I'm, like, I might sweat a bit, but there's, like, a lot of wind, a lot of summer, or a lot of beach breeze, right? So
That's
then,
interesting.
So then it still feels nicer. But I would say that, for me, there's more to do in Pittsburgh.
Well, why did you stay in Pittsburgh for the summer?
I had some classes to do, and I TA'd a class, and then...
Oh, yeah, how was that?
That was really fun. I really like TA'ing, but don't know if I would do it, on, like, in a semester, because, like, that just means, like, more time commitment for stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, what point do you make that decision to stay for the summer?
I just knew, like, well, like, first I needed to get some classes, like, done, or, like, I guess early. Get ahead, basically.
You wanted to get ahead.
Yeah.
This wasn't even needed to. You just, like...
Yeah, it was more like I wanted to get ahead. And then, I guess, like, if I stayed in Puerto Rico for the summer, I wouldn't have been doing much. Like, honestly.
That's interesting. So you wanted to feel like you were doing something?
Yeah. Like, I wanted to be, like, at least feel somewhat productive.
Did you go to New York during the summer? Did you stay in Pittsburgh? Were you in Pittsburgh the whole time?
No, I did not visit New York in the summer, I think. Yeah, I did not.
No, you stayed in Pittsburgh the whole time?
Yeah, I visited in August. That's, like, right when summer ended, like,
that's
I visited.
That's funny you said that's when summer ends, because I would say summer goes to, like, September. I'm still having summer.
Oh, really?
Vibes. I mean, yeah, that's me.
To me, summer ends in August.
Okay.
Right? And then, I guess that was because, like, my high school would start in August or whatever, and... Right when summer ended and I finished, like, my classes, then I went to New York for, like, a week. But I actually went to Puerto Rico for a week as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So. All right, well, Puerto Rico takes the win, and this is kind of funny. I'm going to play a song from Puerto Rican Lin-Manuel Miranda in the Heights to celebrate Puerto Rico's big win on the Elias Show. This is When the Sun Goes Down from In the Heights.
When the sun goes down, you're gonna need a flashlight. You're gonna need a candle.
I think I can handle that.
When you leave town, I'm gonna buy you a calling card.
Cause I am falling hard for you. I go back on Labor Day.
And I will try to make my way out west to California. So we've got the summer.
And we've got each other. Perhaps even longer.
When you're on your own, and suddenly without me, will you forget about me?
I couldn't if I tried.
When I'm all alone, and I close my eyes, that's when I'll see your face again.
Oh, okay, that's it. That's When the Sun Goes Down from In the Heights. And John, I forgot to ask before the game. What's the biggest difference between Puerto Rico and Pittsburgh?
How people talk. Well, like, okay, number one, language, right?
Okay.
We're not speaking English back home, so.
Okay.
But the way people talk here is very... You know, people are not trying to insult each other, if you get what I'm saying.
Okay.
But, like, people are not trying to insult each other back home. We just have, like, very strong way of saying things.
Right.
Right? Like, it's like that thing where you, like, change language, your personality kind of changes with it. Hmm. It's basically that same thing.
That's interesting. I've never really thought of it like that. But I only do speak English. But I wanted to ask you, like, I feel like some people are extremely outspoken about, like, their heritage or where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with me that you're not the kind of guy who, like, walks around and makes it clear that he's, like, from Puerto Rico every single day?
Yeah, not
really.
Wearing
the flag on your shirt?
Not really. I mean, I am proud of it. I just, like, you know, growing up, I guess, like, online, you meet, like, different people that from different places and different cultures. And I guess, like, I never really grew up with, like, the strong... sensation of, like, yeah, like, if I go back home, I'm like, yeah, I'm Puerto Rican, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? But then I go back here and I'm like, well, yeah, like, it feels stronger here to be Puerto Rican just because there's less of me. Right?
What do you mean by that?
Like, let's see, like, I don't really see Puerto Ricans, like, that much walking around SCMU or at, like, Pittsburgh in general.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so, like, I guess, like, my feeling of being Puerto Rican is stronger just because of that, because I'm like, oh, I guess I gotta represent in some way. But back home, I really don't have to do that. I'm just like, well, I'm back home. Like, everyone else is Puerto Rican. I'm Puerto Rican. We're just, like, one of the same.
So it's not really, like, a conscious thing you think about.
Yeah. Mm. I guess it's just, like, there. But I am quite proud of it, so.
Yeah. I want to ask you this. I'm actually curious. What's it like after, like, a hurricane?
Oh.
Tell me about that.
So I don't know. I don't think I have, like, the best, like, experience with hurricanes, as in, like, I don't think I'm the best person to talk about it just because, like, we go to CMU, right? We're, like, all privileged in some mm-hmm. way. And of course, like we've been granted a lot of opportunities and stuff. And so what the hurricane affected me, of course, is not the same for everyone else back home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I had it better off than like most people. Like a lot of people got their houses blown away and stuff during hurricane season and stuff. But I've never really had that experience, mm-hmm. so I don't know what it's like.
Any friends who had that experience?
Unfortunately, no. Fortunately, yeah, of course, they didn't have any houses blown up, but we all went to, a privileged high school, so.
So you were, kind of surrounded with people who were more similar to, the experiences you had in with regards to, hurricanes and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, we did have, a family friend or just, a friend of my mom's that stayed over because her house got blown away,
mm-hmm.
and so we had her stay over the house for a couple months,
mm-hmm.
right.
Do you think it's more difficult sympathizing with people who've been affected pretty worse?
I'm not sure if it's difficult to sympathize. It's more I'm just gonna put it to a way where I'm not really gonna have that same understanding, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've always had a roof over my head,
right?
So, when I do see it, I am saddened, but I don't get, the emotions they will get, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just wanted to remind everyone they're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh on 88.3 FM. It's the Elias Show, songs about weather, talk conversation about weather-related things. It all ties together, John. You can listen online at WRCT.org, and you can reach us in the studio at 412-268-9728. John, why don't we play another song and then get back to a conversation?
Okay.
All right, let's do it. This is, first of all, okay, I've had more John approved songs today than I thought I would have. The last one was not a John approved.
Yeah, song? I don't think that was John approved.
All right, we had the Beatles was John approved. The one before was John approved. The one before, actually, that portion of the show is John approved. This one's definitely not John approved. This one's After the Hurricane by Jasmine Sullivan, but it is Elias Show approved. So we're gonna hear it right now.
Crying, crying. Oh,
was After the Hurricane by Jasmine Sullivan. I thought we had another John approved song. Do you want to tell the story?
So basically I was just talking to Elisha and I was just like, oh, I like this. And then he thought I meant the song, and I was trying to say I like the show, you know, I'm having fun.
Yeah, well,
I mean, and I got his hopes up a little bit too much.
I thought we were having a groundbreaking moment here.
Yeah, I was not referring to the song.
Right. Well, the Earth has a natural balance of life. Part of that is John and I having differing music tastes. But global warming is disrupting that balance. You can help fight global warming. If every...
Okay.
We gotta keep going. If every family replaced... This is serious stuff. If every family replaced 3 frequently used light bulbs with compact fluorescent bulbs, it's like taking 3.5 million cars off the road. Sorry, I thought that might hurt the car industry, though.
Well, who cares about
that? Okay. Yeah, exactly. Good point. It's very important. Find out how you can help at fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council. John, please do better.
Okay, so right now, 86 million adults in America have pre-diabetes. In other words, 1 in 3 adults in this country are at risk of developing type 2 diabetes. But the good news is that pre-diabetes can be reversed. And even if you're busy, it takes less than 1 minute to know where you stand. There's no excuse. Visit dollhaveprediabetes.org and take the short online test. That's dollhaveprediabetes.org.
Yeah. Happy that you did better than I did on that one. You're listening to The Eli Show. John, we gotta address the elephant in the room, and I don't mean cage the elephant from the... There's no elephant actually in the room.
Oh, okay.
But this is the elephant in the room. You're in a relationship right now.
Yes. Wait, why is that an elephant, though?
Well, I don't know. We haven't talked about it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, also, wait. We can't move on from the fact that we had a hurricane conversation, and then we went to After the Hurricane. That was the song. Like, it was such a cool moment. All right, I'm sorry. I just planned that so well. I need to give myself a shout-out on the show. But back to you. This is about you. You're in a relationship right now. How did that happen? How did you meet? What's the story? Uh-oh.
Anyways. So, yeah, I was checking out my phone for 1 second.
Texting you, please do not talk about this right now.
No. Okay, so how did that happen?
Yeah.
Well, I guess my perspective, I guess, was... Well, during the summer, I was taking classes, right? And I have this friend... basically, that was rooming with the person I'm dating right now.
Okay.
Right? And we were also taking, like, one class together. Mm-hmm. And so, I guess, like... Okay, but it's actually kind of weird. The story is more weird than I think. So...
It goes back to the summer.
Yeah, it goes back to the summer.
I didn't know that.
So, like, the person I'm dating with, right, invites my friend over to their birthday. But then invites me and another friend to the birthday as well, just so my friend doesn't feel uncomfortable. Do you get where this is?
No, I don't get what just happened. Your friend, the girl you're dating right now,
yeah,
invited you and your friend.
Yeah, invites me and my friend. Well, okay, so imagine this. There's me and 2 friends.
Okay, one of them is the girl you're dating now.
No.
Okay, no, you and 2 friends.
Two friends, right? One of those friends is rooming with the person I'm dating.
Oh, got you.
Yeah, right? And then... They invite the friend that's rooming with them to the birthday, but then they invite me and my other friend,
right,
to the birthday as well.
Yes.
So the friend they're rooming with doesn't feel uncomfortable, right? Okay. So you know, have some like people.
Yeah.
Right, and so this is like the first time I meet the person I'm dating.
Yeah.
Which is on their birthday.
On her birthday.
Yeah.
It's her birthday party. Okay, I got lost. We gotta keep going. We can't keep figuring this out.
Yeah. So, right, I meet them on their birthday, and I'm like, which is kind of funny. I'm like, and then my perspective was just like, well, they're pretty cool. I want to be friends and stuff. And, like, I guess, like, I started texting them, and then we just kind of hit it off as friends at first. And then, like, we kept being friends, like, throughout the summer, and then... We kept talking, and then eventually, like, they live in New Jersey, and we visited, or, right? So, when I went back to visit New York or whatever, during the end of summer, we had a whole day of hanging out in the summer and stuff, and that was really fun. And we kept being friends from there, and then, I think around, I mean, basically, like, late September, or basically, like, right, and... like October 1st, pretty much, like basically, we just became like a couple. But like around late September, they asked if like they wanted to date or like they were interested in like being together.
I'm so happy for you, but there's no but. I am happy for you, but is still but. Is she a computer science major?
Yes.
Oh wow. Does that make it easier or more difficult?
It doesn't really change my opinion. So. Mm.
Did you have an intention of? You didn't have an intention of specifically like dating a computer science person, though.
No.
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 Did you ever say that you want to, like, not date a computer science person?
No. I mean, yeah, I don't really have a... I don't really care what their major is, to be honest.
So why'd you hold off on pursuing anything till your second year? Was it just, like, no, the situation wasn't right?
I don't really pursue any. Like, I don't really pursue stuff. Like, I guess, like, my first year, I just kind of wanted to figure out what I'm doing here at CMU, and I guess like I think the timing was just right for second year.
Yeah.
Right. And it just kind of all happened, so it's not like I planned it on happening.
Yeah.
It was just right.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you think it's something serious or is it just for fun?
No, I think it's something serious.
That's nice. I mean, because you went to Chicago over winter break, right?
Yeah.
And you went
fall break. Sorry.
Fall break.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you went with her.
Yeah.
That was when it was so new, though. It's like, it's a pretty big trip to go with someone you just started dating, to go to Chicago, all the way to Chicago.
I think we even talked about that as well. Like, over there, we're like, this is really new, and we just went to Chicago to, like...
You talked about that after you went to Chicago?
No, during the trip.
Oh, during the trip.
Yeah.
So not before.
Yeah, so, like, not really before, but, like, while we were there, we're like, huh, it's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like quite new at the time, and we just went to Chicago together.
Yeah, it wasn't. Was it nerve wracking to plan the trip?
No, it was kind of. It was really fun.
Was it? It was exciting to.
Yeah, and then I took a train there, so that was also.
You like trains?
I like trains.
Yeah. What about trains? Do you like? I'm curious.
I really don't know. I actually can't answer that. It's just cool. I don't know. We don't have trains back in Puerto Rico. Well, we do, but it's really bad.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean. That's kind of cool. I mean, you get to ride a train and you get to with a girl that you're just starting to date and things are exciting. That's really exciting. What goes into planning? Like, how much do you plan that trip? Or is it more spontaneous?
I think we like at least plan what we're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually like make a lot of like, I guess, dream trips and we kind of try to plan them out.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's just like seeing what there is to do and then. If we see something we're interested, we just buy the tickets and then we're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's really interesting because then you get to see like the different things you can do in each city.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how to put it. So like, it's really fun. It's like a really fun activity.
Yeah. What do you plan on? Do you plan on any city going to next?
Maybe Toronto.
Wow, Canada.
Possibly, yeah.
I don't know. Take me through cities you've been to and like. Or that you want to go to?
Well, let's see. To cities I've been to?
Been to Boston, I know that.
Oh, yeah, I love Boston.
Yeah.
Right. It's a really nice city. It's really clean. But a lot of stuff to do there. I don't know. I don't know how to put it more.
Boston, Pittsburgh, New York, Chicago.
I've been to, like, Orlando, Miami.
Mm.
I think I've been to D.C. once.
Oh, wow.
I don't really quite remember it. Mm. I've been to Toronto once already before, but my memory there is kind of fuzzy. I didn't really stay there. Just like, I guess, a road trip type of thing.
What attracts you to go to a city? And I have another question about that. I'm gonna hold off on that for a second.
What attracts me to a city?
To like go to a city. Like, what was your favorite part about New York?
That everything is just like so close to each other. I can just like walk to everything, pretty much. Mm. Like. And there's so many, like, activities to do, like, you know, it doesn't really feel like it's stopping,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And even if, like, if you do an activity there once, it kind of changes up the way the next time you go. So mm-hmm. it's not the same.
Yeah. How many times have you gone?
To like New York?
Yeah. You can't count?
Yeah, I can't count. Like maybe like over 10 times. Just because I already have family there. And
right.
And yeah, I've been visiting it like all my life.
When was when the first time was?
Yeah. I think I was like 5.
Oh, wow. Or like, so really like all your life?
Almost. Yeah. So like 5 years old or 6 years old was like the first time I went to New York. And I kind of remember it slightly vividly.
Mm-hmm.
But not all the memories there.
So back to like what attracts you to a city? The cool pictures you can take?
I mean, of course that's cool. It's just the vibe, like the vibe I can get from them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Chicago has like a slightly more chillax vibe than New York, but I could still like do a lot of activities there. New York, I feel like it's very, like when you go during like holiday season, it is so full of tourists.
To holidays? Do you like that or not?
No, I do not.
Really?
Like, yeah.
I'd say holiday is the time to go.
Really? Because like I try to walk around and it's just way too full.
That is true, but I mean, it's just like the lights and the decorations.
No, that is true. I love the decorations and stuff, but yeah. I don't know.
Any one city that was like particularly that stood out to you aside from New York?
Probably Boston.
For good reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
For bad reasons, I'm so curious.
It's more like the first time I went to Boston, I didn't really know what to expect of it. And then when I went, I was just like, wow, this is really nice. Like, it's exactly kind of like all the things I like about the city, while also not being as like loud and slightly overbearing like New York.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, next time you go to Toronto, next time. You've already been to Toronto.
Technically, yeah.
Next time you go to Toronto, we're going to get you back on the show to talk about the trip.
All right.
Or maybe you'll have your own show where you can talk about the trip.
I don't know. We'll see.
But for now, on this beautiful day, you should go to Rita's Italian Ice, which with your girlfriend, and they join you in supporting WRCT. Rita's offers a variety of frozen treats, including its famous Italian Ice, made fresh daily with real fruit, available in over 80 flavors. Rita's has several locations throughout the city of Pittsburgh, including a stand at 3712 Fifth Avenue near the University of Pittsburgh campus. For more information, visit their website at ritasice.com. If you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. John, we're going to play another song, and then we're going to close out the show with you. Let's play Colder Weather by Zach Brown Band.
She'd take Colorado if he'd take her with her. Closes the door before the winter lets the cold in. And wonders if her love is strong enough to make him stay. She's answered by the taillights shining through the window pane. He said, I want to see you again, but I'm stuck in colder weather. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Can I call you then? She said, you're a rambling man, and you ain't ever gonna change. You got a gypsy soul to blame, and you were born for leaving. Had a truck stop diner just outside of Lincoln. The night is black as the coffee he was drinking. And in the waitress eyes he sees the same old light is shining. He thinks of Colorado and the girl he left behind him. He said, I want to see you again, but I'm stuck in colder weather. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Can I call you then? She said, you're a rambling man, and you ain't ever gonna change. You got a gypsy soul to blame, and you were born for leaving. Born for leaving. Well, it's a winding road when you're in the lost and found. You're a lover, I'm a runner, and we go round and round. And I love you, but I leave you. I don't want you, but I need you. You know it's you that calls me back. When I close my eyes, I see you. No matter where I am, I can smell your perfume through these whispering pines. I'm with your ghost again. It's a shame about the weather, but I know soon we'll be together. And I can't wait till then. I can't wait till.
That was Colder Weather by the Zac Brown Band. Now, we have to tell you about some shows on WRCT before John gets his own show, and then I'll tell you all about that one. But here and there, everywhere, from Korean deep house to Chinese shoegaze, everything, here and there, everywhere, every Sunday from 4 to 5 p.m. That's today, only on WRCT. That's Yogi Jogi.
Hello, hello. Is there anybody out there? If you're out there, drop by the Echo Chamber Tuesdays at 6 to listen to good music together. That's the Echo Chamber.
All right. Now, John, you've been an excellent guest. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. But I need you to close out the show with your opinion on daylight savings. Why are you so opposed to it?
Oh, my God. Daylight savings? So, basically, daylight savings makes no sense to me at all. All right, so, like, back home, we don't do this daylight savings things where we just change the hour, and then you're basically going, like, oh, we have to reset. You get 1 hour more of sleep or 1 hour less of sleep. I'm like, so, like, every time that would happen, I'm like, why are we doing this? And then I apparently something about the farmers, I'm like, we're not even a farm-driven economy. What is going on?
Well, you stayed here, though, for New Year's.
Did I? Wait, no.
You did. Because I texted you Happy New Year at 11, like, in Puerto Rico when it's, like, an hour ahead, because they don't do daylight savings.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you were like, I'm here. Or where are you? We're not here in Pittsburgh, like, somewhere in...
Oh, right, I think so. Okay, so I was actually on a trip in Florida, so technically a cruise.
Oh.
Right, so we technically did have daylight savings in that cruise, even though we're closer to Puerto Rico than we are to, to Florida. Funny. So, yeah, that was kind of interesting, but did you hear they're abolishing it, right?
They're abolishing what?
Daylight savings.
What?
Yeah.
What? So what about the fall when I get more sleep?
You're not getting more sleep. You're getting the same amount of sleep.
Oh, my goodness.
It doesn't matter, man, because, like, you get more sleep in the fall, and then you get 1 hour less in the spring.
John, it's a beautiful day, and you just, like, put a big cloud on the beautiful day. It was like
things were
going well. This is such a bad note to end the show.
Were you really expecting, like, that 1 hour of sleep to change everything?
All right, well, best of luck. I'm kicking you out now. No. Best of luck. Best of luck, computer science. Best of luck with your relationship. Take her to Rita's. And we wish you the best. And now we got to take it back to our times together. Yeah. As like sweet mates.
Yeah.
With a song that's not weather related, but that's okay. That's okay. It's you want to introduce it?
It's Somebody Told Me, which is a cover by Motionless in White.
Here we go.
Welcome to WRCT Pittsburgh. Today we are joined by Jay Melodic, an accomplished producer hailing from Philadelphia, who has produced with the likes of Tierra Whack and Pink Sweats. He just released his album, Melodic, on May 31st, available everywhere now. Welcome everyone, Jay Melodic.
Hi everybody, how you doing?
Now, Melodic is, I believe, your first album that you're releasing yourself. What vision did you have for this particular project, and what does this album mean to you?
I mean, honestly, the project really just came from an idea to have these two writing camps. We did writing camps in Philadelphia, New Jersey, hosted by Bread and Butter Management. So the idea was really just a rough one. We started with the camps. We sat down one day and was just like, you know, we have some really good songs. We should think about putting an album out. And so we kind of tabled the idea for a second, and then we kind of picked the conversation back up, and from there it really just started happening. So it really wasn't a vision, more so I can say, but I believe once we actually got to the planning phase, it was just something that represented me something that represented my versatility and just the different genres of music that I like to dive into.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is your first album, so like it must have felt surreal to release something on your own, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I always say that it was like, it's the dream that I never knew that I had. So I never really ever thought about putting out my own album before. But once the conversation started, I really just was very excited about it, and just realized that this is something that I don't just want to do one time, that I want to continue this and keep on releasing music this way.
Yeah, for sure. And when I was listening through Melodic, it has a lot of songs from different genres. From what I've heard and like my like personal reaction, I saw that like Kissing Games has like an infectious alt beat, and like Pleaser is light and showers you kind of more in brightness. And then Harder is like a soothing R&B track that you started off with. And it's like, I find it's pretty rare for an album in general, like especially your first album, to have like such a wide range of different songs. What compelled you to make so many tracks of different genres instead of sticking to one particular one?
Honestly, I made a lot of the records at different times. So it was really, I think, it was kind of like a dream come true in this sense too, where there were artists that came to these camps that immediately when I heard their voices or I saw like their style of writing, it kind of just was like, oh, I have this beat that would be perfect for them. And so I gathered a few and sent them over to the artist, or had the artist, and then some of them recorded it live in the studio. Most all of the ideas stem from the camp, so some of them took them home and finished them up. But for the most part, I just kind of had something in my head that I heard when I heard their voices, and then they just kind of took it and ran with it.
So when you say that, like, you had something in your head and then you built it something off of that, right? Would you say, like, mainly your creative process when you're producing songs or creating songs, it's something more instantaneous, or do you have to sit on something for it to really develop?
No, I'm really one of those producers where I, like, once I start, I try to finish as much of the idea as possible. And when I'm done, I'm done. So, like, I rarely ever go back to some of the produced tracks, unless there's something that, like, I can't get out of my head. And I might try it, and it might still not work. But for the most part, when I'm done, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. How do you know when the track is actually, like, finished for you and you know this is the one that you want to release?
I mean, that's a funny question, because, like, I feel like producers can kind of agree with this. Is like, when, like, whenever is the right time to stop, you know? Like, it's like you can stop a couple tracks in and a couple instruments in, or you can be 50 or 60 in and it still not be done either. So it's, I think you just have that feeling, you know, when you get to a point where you're like, if I add any more, this might just be overkill. And I think that it's like a sweet spot almost. And I think once you get there, I think that's like a great place to kind of just let it go.
Yeah.
As far as like releasing those songs, I think we, in this process, we didn't look at like, you know, what's popular, what's trendy. I think we really just had feelings about these songs that these songs were things that we wanted people to hear and wanted them to enjoy it as much as we did as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And producing is always has, like, I would say every producer has their own different style. And I know that you take inspiration from Pharrell and Kanye West. How do you think that that has influenced you in general, like their producing styles versus your own?
Tremendously. Just growing up and listening just to the maturation of their styles, I think that I've taken a little bit of, I guess, the decades that we've kind of had them now, those two in particular, just how their styles have kind of changed over the years. And I think I kind of growing up since they were, I've loved them since I was younger. I think listening to their styles, and then when I got into producing myself, I'm like, you know, what is going to kind of be my style? Like, what way do I want to go? And I kind of asked myself that a lot of times, and I really couldn't come up with an answer. And I'm like, why can't I just do it all and try to mesh those things, the things that I like, and try some things and see if I'm pretty good at them, and hopefully they work out.
Mm-hmm. And so speaking of like producing for yourself and versus just producing in general, you produced many of Tierra Whack's tracks, including Walk the Beat, 27 Club, and Pretty Ugly, all of which have different, completely different energy to the other. How does it contrast like producing for others and then producing your own music?
I think it just always goes back to feeling. I think when you're working with artists, you have to be sensitive to how that artist and what the mood of the artist is. I think in this process, it's really me producing the records and kind of saying, you know, I hear this for someone. And I am very grateful too that the artists that did hop on these tracks, they trusted me enough to say, hey, I think this will be great for you. And that they actually went and did it and actually gave it back. And they were all great results, honestly, for the project. So I think it comes with a feeling. And I think that's just kind of like where you start. And then as long as that feeling remains throughout the process and even with the conclusion of the song, I think then that's a great place to be.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that like the part of creating the song and producing the beat is harder than finding that person who can, you know, that will make this thing into a masterpiece? Or do you think it's flipped where the finding the person is harder than producing the beat?
I think finding the person for sure is harder than producing the beat. I think, yeah, definitely. When you're trying to find an artist that, I think as producers, we hear things in our head, like we hear different, like the melodies that we're doing, we hear like how something might be, like a certain voice might be like a contrast to it. And it might be a good contrast. So like, it might be something that we want to experiment and see like, oh, maybe this person with the raspy voice, maybe it does sound good on this track. I think it's just kind of a trial and error and just seeing, you know, how that meshes together. But definitely trying to find someone is definitely a lot harder than creating the record.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're creating records, right, you have to use a DAW and like software, music production software. Mm-hmm. So as like, there are many people out there trying to get into music production. I know myself, like I tried and I was like, wow, there's so much going on. I think you use Logic Pro. How did you settle on using Logic Pro in comparison to other DAWs? And like, how does that affect like your creative process?
So it's a really funny story. When I first started producing in 2009, I actually was producing in FL. And like FL, I told myself, I was like, you know, I'm going to stay with this. This is amazing. And it is a great, great, great product. I know a lot of my friends that use it and it produces great results as well. I was working in a studio at the time and I like to have my computer hooked up to the big screen. And they really just got tired of unhooking their laptop and hooking mine up. At the time I had a PC and they didn't want to keep on hooking my laptop up. So they were like, hey, bro, you're going to have to learn how to either use this or you're not going to be able to use the TV. But I kind of was like launched into Logic. And once I got in there and I realized all of the amazing things that they had in there and just being able to, the shortcuts, everything just seemed so like easy to learn. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm going on year 12 or 13 of just using that DAW. And I love it. It gives you so many layers, especially when recording too. I never learned Pro Tools. So learning to record in Logic, I do everything in Logic. And I think that it's very user-friendly. But I think that for anybody, you have to find something that you're comfortable with, something that is easily adaptable in whatever environment. Sometimes you're called to record and you might not know. You want to be able to know your DAW enough that you're able to get that job done. No shade to the other ones, but Logic's my go-to.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like you're a master of the craft. I mean, also for like using like a specific software for like, or producing in general for like 12 to 13 years, right? Have you ever had like a beat that like you wish went further than it did?
I do. I think it would probably, you know, probably not one. I would say maybe my earlier beats. I think I would say that because I spent when I first started producing, I spent so much time on one record. So it was like, whether I spent 2, 3, 4 hours on one record, I still never came back to it, but I would spend a lot of time the initial sit down. And I think that a lot of them, for me, when I look back or I listen back to them sometime from time to time, I wish that I could have done something with some of those, because they're very, very instrumentational, have a lot of those, like more so like your 50 to 60 track songs that have a lot of just random hits and sounds and very experimental. So I think I would probably put them in a group, and I would say like my earlier records.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like just in general, what you're saying, like when you listen back on like your old stuff, right? Have you ever like sat down and was like, you wish that you made it at a certain different time in your period of your life?
Funny enough, I do sometimes say I was making the music for that time, because around that time when I started producing, it was very like brass sounds, strings, and all of those things. And some of those elements are actually coming back, I believe, especially in hip hop now. I guess you can say that I wish that I made them at a different time, but hey, maybe hopefully it pops up again and I can use them. I can use them now.
Yeah, absolutely. And on an interview with NPR, you say that the track Pretty Ugly by Tierra Whack is a jump around record, but the stank face at the same time. Do you often try to combine like multiple different themes at once when you're making records?
Yeah, I believe I'm a lot more intentional about that the last couple of years, for sure. I believe in before when I first started, like I would always try to give people like a wow factor. When they like left the room and then they came back, like, what did you just do? And so I think I am more intentional about doing that too now, just because I think it's fun, experimenting with different sounds and even different genres and inside of the same song. It could be a really interesting result when you're done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I personally have like attachments to songs, of course. I feel like when you listen to songs or music in general, you have attachments. So do you find that producing your music, do you have specific attachments to particular songs?
There is one song that I have an extreme attachment to that I did. I try not to use my voice too much on records, but there was one song that I created, I believe in like maybe 2011, that I had this like extreme attachment to. And for whatever reason, I wanted this song to land in the right hands. I haven't even played it for that many people before, but I feel like the time will come at some point. But I do have a song in mind for someone.
Well, we can't wait to hear when you release it.
Yeah, but we cross our fingers.
And so in that same interview, you also mentioned the regularity of violence in Philadelphia and just real life in general, especially nowadays. Is making music to you an outlet of telling a story that is parallel to your personal life?
Absolutely. It's my journey through everything, not just music, but the journey of life, period. Just, you know, people that you're close to that are no longer here, the experiences of just having family and just having friends, it's a tough place to grow up into, because you see so much loss and so much violence. I believe that a lot of those things kind of speak through some of my music. I mean, more intentionally, you hear songs like Cutting Onions, and you hear songs like Heaven. Those are experiences that I listen to these songs to this day, and I still feel the same way when we made it.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you take particular like influences from different artists and how they like tell their story? For example, like my favorite artist is like Frank Ocean, and I love Blonde.
He's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And like, his way of telling his story is just so amazing. Like, do you take inspiration from lyricism like that or anything?
I believe maybe I do. I don't think, I love how artists, how individual artists are able to tell their stories. I pay attention to the stories. I think we all do kind of try to follow that journey with them. I don't believe, or I don't really feel as though I try to use that for my own. I think my journey is interesting enough. And so I kind of want to be able to express my journey the way that I experience it. Highs and lows, good and bad. And even music wise, just like how I've grown, how I've matured musically, the things that I've learned over the years, I would love for that to be able to speak more than anything.
Yeah, definitely. I think just having been in the industry for so long will definitely like impact how you are present and the future. Mm-hmm. And speaking of influences, and on the flip side of Philadelphia being more of a violent city, I saw on your Instagram that you're also a Sixers fan. And coming from the Philadelphia region as well, I know that Philly has a huge, big culture of sports, especially the Sixers and Eagles. Has any of that Philadelphian culture impacted your sound?
Absolutely. I had the great opportunity a few years ago, Wack and I were able to do a song for the Sixers for the playoff run that they were going on. So that was like another dream that I never knew I had come true. It was a great experience working with the people with the Sixers organization and just seeing how people embraced it. But just overall, the city gives so much, and there's so much music history here in Philadelphia.
Hey, good evening, Pittsburgh. Thank you to Flavio for a fantastic show from Ipanema to the World. It's just past 8 p.m., and you're listening to From the Basement here on WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. Thanks for tuning in. We've got a few cuts from the bin, some songs labels have recently sent us in the mail. And after that, about 50 minutes of house music, or house-adjacent music. Thanks for tuning in. Got a great show for you tonight.
In the paths of rain, you fly.